This time tomorrow, I'll be in Bangor with my aunt in a house that she has lived in for over 40 years. Before that, for the previous 30 years, she lived within a radius of about a mile and a half of that house. We at one point did move a mile and a half away from where I grew up, but that was too far away. So she's now reached the point where the house where she lives is too big for her. And so we're in the process of selling it and trying to find her somewhere else to live. I'm getting lots of phone calls. And you can hear the stress on the phone at having to move house, at having to find a suitable place that where she would be happy. And I'm talking to my brother lots about it, and we're working together to calm my aunt's fears and to work together to get her somewhere more manageable and somewhere where she would be happy. Moving house after 40 years from an area where you've been, even if you get somewhere reasonably close by, if that's possible, you know, where you've lived for over 60 years, you know, it's a big move, and the stress is real. And in life, we have to recognize that stress is real. Some of it's actually good for us because it inspires us to step up to the mark and to do things. But when it gets too much, well, then that is when it can be difficult. There's a lot of stress in the world at the moment. You've heard already the measures that we are taking in line with the advice that we've received from the Church of Ireland to keep you safe and well because of the coronavirus outbreak. The headlines in the papers do not help. And yet Jesus says, "Do not be troubled." And he says, do not be troubled because we should trust in him in every situation. As Danielle mentioned last Sunday evening, we had a youth service here. It was a real credit to our young people. And our speaker was Mitch from Crown Jesus Ministries, who gave a very powerful testimony that inspired many, and at least one person made a commitment to Christ last Sunday evening. Many others came for prayer ministry. During the week, he put up a video on YouTube and on Facebook, and he gave 7 points in response to coronavirus. I'm summarizing madly here, but he said what I've just said. First of all, do not be troubled, because Jesus is with us. Secondly, have confidence in Christ that he will stand with us through good and ill, and that he will be with us forever. Thirdly, as you've heard in the measures we're taking, and for all of us, we shouldn't ignore it, but we should be responsible. Take the measures that are required at this stage. Fourthly, and this is a command. Sometimes we kind of go, well, that's a very nice added extra. We are to rejoice in the Lord always because he has gone before us. He is with us. He has promised to be with us forever. And fifthly, we should indeed pray for healing. Not just pray for the sick, but pray for healing. It's good to pray for the sick, but Jesus prayed for sick people, and we should pray for them. Sixthly, we should pray for the medics who are looking after us in terms of illness and in the hospitals and in GP surgeries, and also for the biochemists looking and working to come up with an antidote to coronavirus. And seventhly, pray that God will use this for good, that in the midst of suffering, that people will discover Jesus and his eternal peace. You can watch the whole thing on Facebook, And Mitch says that an awful lot more. But I thought it was a good summary at a time when the world is stressed and troubled. Not to ignore what's going on, but to respond with faith, with trust, and looking to Jesus. As you may have picked up in that reading, in John 13 and 36 to 38, the disciples were worried. What was all this that Jesus said that he was going to leave them? That one of them would betray him, and that he would betray him even three times? What was going on? They had trusted in someone that they thought was going to be with them forever. They were worried and distressed. And in John 14 and verse 1, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And in a sense, John 14 and 1 is a manual for stress management, a remedy for anxious and troubled hearts. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is not telling us to ignore stress. He is telling his followers to trust me, trust in God. And he's putting it right out there that he is unique, that he and the Father are one. And no one has ever said this before. It would get him into a lot of trouble. But by setting out that he is unique, that he is the way, that he is the true one, come from the Father, well then, he says, you can trust in me and trust in God. It is the same thing. And this is the ultimate stress buster. In verse 2, Jesus gives more assurance. I mentioned a few moments ago helping my aunt to sell and to move house. And I know that once she is settled in a new home, once she is happily there, she'll be much less troubled. And to comfort his disciples, Jesus tells them, he already has a house prepared for them. He is going away to prepare it for them. He's going to leave them, yes, but he's going to do a much greater thing for them. He's going to prepare a house where they can dwell forever, where they can know that he will be there with them forever. And he continues, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So he's not deserting them. He's preparing an eternal home. And one day he will return. He will die and be resurrected and will return and will come back and take them to be with him, as he will take all believers to be with him. And that great assurance he gives to his troubled disciples. And then he says very pointedly, you know the way to the place where I am going. In a sense, he is saying, well, you've been with me all this time. You should know the way to the place where I am going. And then the person who gets a bad press puts the question that I think lots of them were thinking. Lord, we don't know the way, said Thomas. How can we find the way? Where is the way to the place that you are going? And it's such an important question. Immediately, Jesus replies, and he gives a very definitive answer so as they're all very clear, so as we can be clear today. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is the truth that Christ sets before us, that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, in society today, we are told to take on board all beliefs. We are told there are many ways to God. But Jesus very distinctively and clearly stands against this, saying that no one goes to the Father except through him. And that, in our modern society, can be difficult for us to get our heads round. But he was saying, I am the way. He is the only way to the Father's complete love, to the Father's eternal home, to the Father's loving presence forever. No one goes except by him. And he offers life and freedom to all who come. And just in case you think maybe this is a sort of isolated thing, or picking a scripture up and running with it out of the whole biblical context, I want to look more widely across scripture at this very important point that Jesus is uniquely the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior in whom we can trust. So in John 6 and verse 63, he says, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and of life. And of course, that's the other reason that he's going away, so as he can send the Holy Spirit to speak the truth that is beyond even what he could tell in his lifetime, because his death and resurrection would tell the complete story of redemption, of life, and of freedom for people everywhere. So the Spirit gives life. This flesh will count for nothing. And the words that he has spoken, the words that he has spoken in the scriptures, the words that the Spirit speaks are full of life for all who will come to him. And in Psalm 119 and verse 30, we read, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. And it is so important to follow that way of obedience and faithfulness to the Lord. It is something that the psalmist called from David and from the people back then, and the Lord calls us to the same obedience and faithfulness today. And let's be clear that there are other ways to live, but they don't lead to life. Jesus is the only way to life. And a warning is given in Proverbs 14 that it can seem that there are other ways. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Back then the scriptures were saying, there is one God, there is one Savior, there is one Messiah. Follow his way, because his way alone leads to life. And then in John 16 and 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. It's kind of like the disciples are seeing part of a picture. But when the Spirit is released on the day of Pentecost, when the believers of every nation and background are filled with the power of the Spirit, when the generations since receive the Spirit into their hearts and lives, the full vista of the truth of God comes and will guide every believer into all truth. Yes, Jesus is going away, but he will give a greater revelation of himself through the power of the Spirit. A great assurance for those disciples. And then in 1 Timothy 2 and verses 5 to 6, there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. There is only one man who could pay the price for all people, to follow that way to salvation, that way to truth, and that way to life. And then in Acts 4 and verse 12, in the early church, the leaders stood up and made very clear the way to salvation, that Jesus is the only way for all to come and to be saved. They said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And to look more closely at this, to say that Jesus is the only way to God does not imply that every idea in non-Christian religion is devoid of value. Non-Christians may find their conscience approves them in terms of fulfilling this or that element of the law of God. It's engraved in their hearts. And Paul recognizes this in Romans 2. In the same way, non-Christians as religious seekers may at one point or another express a response which reflects a valid truth. Such factors, however, do not do away with the general biblical verdict that the non-Christian conscience also universally accuses and so invariably needs Christ's atonement, Christ's forgiveness, as Paul expressed it in Romans 3 and verse 23. Or that non-Christian religion is idolatrous at heart and cannot offer salvation. Jesus alone is the way to God. He is the way for all. And so whatever the religious background of an individual or lack of religion, Jesus in his grace welcomes every one of them to the Father if they will come through him. For them too, he is ready to prepare a place in the Father's house. Over the coming weeks, we're going to be giving away lots of copies of John's Gospel. People can read the truth of God's Word and see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the way to salvation alone. We're aiming that 10,000 lives discover life and freedom through Jesus in the coming weeks. And it is a great aim to go for. It is something that we as believers are called to do, because Jesus welcomes everyone to the Father if they will come through him. For them too, he has prepared a place in the Father's house. So he said to the woman living a sinful life, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." John 8. He loved and forgave her, but he loathed sin. And so he told her, "Go and sin no more." He is the way, the truth, and the life for her and for everyone. But no one can go to the Father except through him. He gave his life on a cross to defeat sin and death, to give us God's love and everlasting life. John 3 and 16. The sin that separates people from God is also the sin that divides people in the world. In other words, it's bad for everyone. Jesus is the answer to sin and to stress, to the world's troubles. The cross of Christ is God's answer, and there is no other. To all who will receive the greatest blessing in life, salvation through Christ, it forever crosses out and cancels sin's power. Now, you will have seen that other tragedy sweeping across Australia recently, the forest fires. Forest rangers know well the value of the burn back in fighting forest fires. To save an area from being burned, they simply burn away all of the trees and shrubs to a safe distance. And when the fire reaches the burnout spot, those standing beyond that place are safe from the flames. So fire is fought with fire. And Calvary was a colossal fighting of fire with fire. Jesus Christ, taking on himself all of our sins, allowed the fire of sin's judgment to fall on him alone. The area around the cross has become a place of safety for all who would escape the judgment of sin. That's why everyone is called to take their place with Jesus at the cross, to stand by the cross, to say yes to the life that has been won for us. And because of his redeeming power, the fire of judgment can never touch anyone who takes their stand at the cross. God sent his Son to die for us. He said that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And that is good news for all the earth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So today, come to him. Over the coming weeks, encourage others to come to him. May his freedom, his life, his spirit dwell in more and more people to make not only individual lives better, but to make the whole of society better. He has prepared a home for all who trust in him. And the way is Jesus. So don't hold off. If you've never received him as Lord, receive him today. Invite him to become Lord of your life and take your stand at the cross with him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the clarity of the Scriptures, for the whole sweep of them that makes so clear your redeeming love, your power and grace set loose in the world. And we pray that many will repent, that many will turn to Christ, that many will take up that safe ground at the cross and know Jesus as their Savior, the way, the truth, and the life, now and eternally. In Jesus' name, amen.